America loves guns. There are an estimated 393 million civilian-owned firearms in the US, considerably more guns than there are people to wield them. At time of recording, 2018 has seen 268 mass shootings and over 10,000 individuals killed by guns. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. In part one of this US of Ed special, we talk gun culture, mass shootings, and whether a bipartisan solution to current levels of gun violence is at this point impossible to find. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook, and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, what can you tell us about your own experiences growing up with guns?
Well, when I grew up, and this is during the Second World War, there were an awful lot of guns around, but most of them were military people. I grew up learning how to shoot a gun, both a pistol and a rifle, because we were in a non-metropolitan area. And my grandmother had a big farm, so we could shoot rabbits and things like this right on our own property. But we had very high respect for guns. There was the only game violence that we knew of were mobsters in Chicago. There were no guns really in California. And California has not been a place for guns. I'm trying to think of how many mass killings there have been in California. Not very many.
No, the last couple I can think of were, there was a Silicon Valley one and,
Facebook one.
Yeah.
But that was two people.
Mm.
Yeah, but there haven't been the 20s, 30s, and 40s. I wonder why that is, that certain places don't seem to have this and other places. And the border states are the ones that have the worst, the Tennessees and so on. And there's an exception, of course, I was in New York where the kids were killed, Sandy Hook.
Mm.
But that was exceptional for New York. New York hasn't had anything like that in the city. So it's really the Maryland's, Arkansas's, Kentucky's, Tennessee's. Those border states always have tension. And there's a lot of black and white tension. But there's also the tension of underemployment and a feeling that the American dream is not happening for you. So I want to be noticed. And then there's another group of people, and they've kind of faded out. Remember back, maybe it's 5-7 years ago, the number of people and I think most of them were from Middle Eastern ancestry, but certainly foreign ancestry, who were in the military. And while they were on the base, I think one of them was a doctor, shot other people in the military. And I think that stemmed from, I still am not recognized as a person. I joined the military. I did everything that was right, and I'm still not treated in the right way. There have only been two people in the history of the country who were black participating in these kinds of events. Two blacks. Now, if there's a group that has really something to rail about, it's black Americans, but they don't seem to be mass killers. And the one was the psychotic gentleman. He was at the naval base in Washington, D.C., and he was a disgruntled employee but had psychological problems, that had been reported. I think his employers thought they were doing him a favor by employing, and he would calm down. But, of course, that didn't happen. But two, in this very terrible history of American violence since about 1990.
It's funny you mention, because obviously Chicago, the old Tommy guns being carried around in a violin case. New York, when you think about New York in the 80s, had this very high crime rate, but we weren't talking about mass shootings. We weren't talking about these episodes of psychosis. I'm not saying people weren't getting shot 50 years ago, but this new situation where mass shootings are all the rage, there's a hell of a lot of psychology behind that.
Well, but remember, most of these mass murders have been committed by people in very modern times, I'd say since the internet. where they could close themselves off and get information that would just feed their ugly behavior. The kid in, was it South Carolina, he steeped himself in Nazi literature. The one who just was in, was it Middle Tennessee, again, in the church where he killed all saints. That was a family dispute, but he also had been steeping himself in the stuff you can get on the internet. Men aren't being treated right, et cetera, et cetera. So there may be something we're getting at here, that when a person doesn't have much is and driven further and further in the corner, the old outlets, at least I'm white, you know, or at least I'm in the military, at least I have something. But being white doesn't mean much anymore. The fact that you are going to a certain school doesn't mean much anymore. Then there's another issue. I heard, I shouldn't say I heard, I actually read this statistic, that only 1 in 5 Americans who reach the sixth grade have the same two parents that brought them into the world. Now, some of that is that the single parent thing. Some of that is divorce. But the bigger thing is abandonment. And many of these people who have been doing these things have been people who have been abandoned in one way or another. The kid in Colorado, he was in a broken home, but both parents had basically abandoned him. They didn't know anything about him. Now, in a sense, he wasn't their kid from their point of view. You know, you've been disowned in your own home. So there's a great deal psychologically wrong. And then when these weapons are around, the way to deal with that, whatever your trouble is to take somebody with you.
So is it the weapons, the semi-automatics, the high-capacity magazines and such that are the problem, or is it these missed connections?
They're both. Okay. Nation building requires, from my point of view, building a nation on hope, not fear. And what's going on now is fear. In the nation building process, people have tasks. That my task is to help the football team or to work with the boys, scouts, or the girls, guides. They have tasks which make them feel better about themselves. Those tasks have gradually gone away. So now you create that little small group of people, when those tasks go away, who have to concoct a new mission. And that mission is to do harm rather than do good. And that is fed into by the current political climate. So these things have stepped up in the current political climate because people can't feel good about themselves. Everything starts with, how do you feel about yourself? And all the big books are these self-help books. How can I help myself be a better human being? How can I help myself understand how I can win at work, how I can win at life? I saw one just before I came over here, how I can have better sex. Now I'm thinking here at 80, that's when I want to get into. Because according, if I'm going to be on the Supreme Court, and I'm looking forward to that.
It just seems to me, though, when we talk about the need for an identity, let's say the need for an identity, the need for a community, I think one of the very strange things, and this is on the guns still, looking at it from the point of view of an Australian, there are a great deal of Americans, or there certainly seem to be a great deal of Americans, who have made guns a central part of their identity.
Yes.
I think a lot of people can appreciate the gun as a tool, or the gun even just as a cool thing that, you know, go to the range, fire off a few shots. It's a form of stress relief. It's something to enjoy. But some people really see them as a core part of being an American.
No, as being a human. Mm. We have, and I certainly have in my family here in Australia, people who go out and shoot wild things, you know, with the permits. They do it every year. They go out and shoot the wild roos, you know, culling the herd and things like this. Now, they are shooters and fishers. Their thought is not to harm a person, but they're part of this gun culture. And I think they're influenced by very many of the same things that people in the United States are influencing. But in the United States, if you look at the movies, who are the guns pointed at? Mission Impossible, all this kind of stuff. The guns are pointed at people. Our movies, the guns are pointed at wild horses. Hmm. So I think there are gun cultures all over the world where people are features, and the gun is really important. You go to their house and they want to show you their gun collection. I'm not into that, but I might show you my football collection. You know, people need those things. The gun, because it's dangerous, it excites people. And the United States, that excitement, when you add in a culture in which life is becoming cheaper, it makes it very volatile.
Here in Australia, we had the Port Arthur massacre in 1996. 35 people were killed. This was not an isolated incident, but it did lead to a huge overhaul in our gun laws here in Oz, which has meant we haven't seen a repeat in the years since. Why hasn't the same thing happened in America?
Well, we don't have a constitutional amendment here. Had we had a constitutional amendment here, then it would have been very difficult. As you know, the number of new groups that have come up politically that are gun supporters has grown steadily. Now, those groups have not suggested full open slather on guns, but they are certainly protecting guns. So I think the other thing is, until very recently, we had homogeneous political culture. You might be a liberal or you might be a labor, but the political culture was not divisive. To say you were a liberal was not, people weren't going to spit on you. To say you were part of labor, the same. Now we're becoming increasingly divisive, mimicking the United States. But since the election of George W. Bush, these things have been politically dividing lines. And the Bushes can take a big credit for that. Reagan was never part of anything like that. He was out there to convince the little people that being a Republican was a good thing. But all of a sudden, being a Republican is white, redneck. Being a Democrat is a liberal, long hair. That the political culture is at fault here. And no one's talking about guns in Chicago and some of these other cities where young blacks are killing one another every night. And the mayor of Chicago's just had to resign because of that.
And I'll be back next week with part two of our US of Ed special looking at guns and gun violence, where we'll be asking whether mass shootings are taking up too much energy in the conversation surrounding gun control and whether other issues in the same arena are being ignored. 2SER Supporter Drive is happening right now. 2SER relies on financial contributions from listeners just like you to help us keep producing independent content. To be a part of the stories, ideas, and music, including podcasts you hear on 2SER, go to 2SER.com/support. Keep up to date by subscribing to US of Ed on iTunes and Wooshka, and you can always show us some love on Facebook and Twitter, again at US of Ed.